Another record setter. I'm Pam Husso, Fox News. More than 195,000 Americans tested positive yesterday for the coronavirus. That's according to Johns Hopkins University. The staggering numbers come less than a week before Thanksgiving, and that has many states amping up virus restrictions.
Citing a record number of coronavirus infections in California, the governor there, Gavin Newsom, is ordering an overnight curfew for the hardest-hit areas in the state. Starting on Saturday, 41 counties that are designated purple areas will restrict non-essential working gatherings from 10 p.m. until 5 a.m. The curfew affects roughly 90% of the state and will remain in effect for 1 month.
Fox's David Lee Miller. Starting Monday, Canada's largest city, Toronto, is heading back into lockdown. President-elect Joe Biden could unveil some of his cabinet picks next week as President Trump's legal team continues its efforts to overturn the election results.
They deserve to be heard. Their questions deserve to be answered. We have a third branch of government for a reason. It's called the judiciary. It's called the courts. It's called the system of justice.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany on Fox's Hannity. Yesterday, Georgia's Republican governor certified the state's presidential election results in favor of Biden. Arrests in Omaha during protests last night stemming from a deadly police shooting. Authorities say Kenneth Jones was shot Thursday after it appeared he was reaching for a weapon during a traffic stop. A Wisconsin shopping mall will be closed today as police search for the suspect who shot and wounded 8 people yesterday. This woman works at the Mayfair Mall in suburban Milwaukee.
Scary. I don't have any other words, to describe it. It's scary.
The shooter is believed to be a white male in his 20s or 30s. America's listening to Fox News.
Need an escape? Then gaze skyward and listen to the Wild Thing podcast as host Laura Krantz searches for extraterrestrial life.
The Pentagon's secret UFO program wasn't the military's first flirtation with this world.
Gaze skyward for season 2 of Wild Thing.
It's truly breathtaking. As a pilot and a former Air Force officer, I can definitively say that this craft did not resemble any man-made object that I'd ever seen.
Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
This is Mike Donovan, host of Not Free America on Sundays at 10 a.m., right here on WMAL FM 105.9 in the nation's capital. This weekend on Not Free America Radio, economic disaster looms as our GDP crashes. What does losing a third of our economy really mean? Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo takes quarantining travelers to a new extreme, and we talk facts about qualified immunity in the American police state. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on Not Free America Radio.
Michigan's temporary ban on indoor dining remains in effect. Yesterday, a federal judge declined to halt the ban, which took effect Wednesday and is scheduled to last for 3 weeks. The state's Restaurant and Lodging Association is suing, saying the ban is unfair compared to the treatment of other businesses. The group argues it can take further steps to reduce the risk of the coronavirus without cutting off customers. At the start of the pandemic, when there was so much uncertainty, there was at least one thing New Yorkers could count on, a daily televised news conference from the governor.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo will receive this year's International Emmy Founders Award in recognition of his leadership during the COVID-19 crisis, according to the International Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. In a statement, the Academy president said the governor's 111 daily briefings worked so well because he effectively created television shows with characters, plot lines, and stories of success and failure. The governor said of the honor,
"But I considered them joint performances."
Joking that it was his response to questions that enhanced his performance at the news conferences. As of this month, New York State has reported more than 33,000 deaths. Michelle Polino, Fox News.
As the weather turns colder, many of us are spending more time indoors. But for hunters, the season is just beginning. And in Idaho, the sale of hunting licenses is up as people seek ways to safely leave the house. Wildlife officials say that's leading to inexperienced hunters misidentifying animals. In one county, 3 moose were illegally killed. Wildlife officials say 2 of the animals may have been mistaken for something else. The same goes for a federally protected grizzly bear that a hunter thought was a black bear. Officials say blatant poaching is also on the rise in northern Idaho. I'm Pam Husso, and this is Fox News.
In Maryland, looks like there may be some accident activity on northbound 95, just north of 216. Looks like that might be along the right side, so stay to your left and use caution traveling there. Elsewhere, be aware of a new traffic pattern along the Beltway. This is on the inner loop of the Beltway between Route 4 and Allentown Road. Lanes are no longer dividing there, but they do shift over to the left as they're working on the right side, so use extra caution traveling there. So far, traveling in Virginia, no delays on 95 from Dale City in towards Springfield. Now from GarageDoryFair.com, the WMAL StormWatch 7 forecast.
Another nice day is in store as highs should reach the mid-60s under partly sunny skies. We'll see some increasing clouds as we head through the afternoon. Becoming mostly cloudy tonight, lows back into the 40s. Cloudy skies expected on your Sunday. Cooler temperatures, highs back in the mid-50s. We'll have the chance for some showers as we head Sunday night to early Monday morning. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the StormWatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm not up early for work. I'm awake for my favorite girl. This is the life I pictured after retiring from the federal government. I want to stay healthy for more days like this, so I picked an Aetna health plan that takes a total approach to my health. It's just for federal retirees. It fits my budget with low premiums and low out-of-pocket costs. I can even get help with some out-of-pocket expenses. I've got other things to spend my money on.
Grandpa!
To learn more or chat live online, visit aetnafeds.com/radio.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and sometimes when I'm out and about, people will say, is it really true that you loved your Good Feet Art Support so much that you bought the store? Of course it is, I say. And I never dreamed that I would run marathons and continue to stay active without my feet getting in the way. When I bought the store in 2014, I would have never imagined that tens of thousands of customers would find relief from foot, knee, and back pain. The support of these loyal customers has allowed us to open new stores throughout Virginia, Maryland, and now North Carolina. I love to hear their stories of walking, running, and just enjoying their new life pain-free. Don't let foot, knee, or back pain keep you from living the life you love. Come into the Good Feet store for your free fitting and test walk and get your own Good Feet story. To find the store nearest you, go to goodfeet.com. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, Maryland.
There's a lot more to working from home than responding to emails. You got to get your home office video chat on.
Yeah, I think you're on mute.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
There, science homework on.
All right, guys, let's go to page 23.
And your living room binge watch on.
Coming up next on Biscuit Boys.
So you need Wi-Fi powerful enough to keep all your devices running at once. Wi-Fi with the most in-home coverage and built-in security to protect those devices. You need Xfinity XFi. Phishing scam blocked. Oh, wait, it said I could learn Chinese in my sleep. Oh.
Get started with Xfinity Internet for $39.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. You'll get enhanced coverage when you add an XFi pod. Plus, advanced security free with the XFi gateway. Just log in and activate through the Xfinity app. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay. Ends 12/2020. Restrictions apply. New Performance Pro Internet customers only. Equipment, taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Saturday at 5 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation Saturday at 5 on WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM,
WMAL. Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update as we approach the Thanksgiving Day holiday. Plenty in the news. To acknowledge that Jeff Wolf is behind the console, Jane Houghton and our producer this morning, I'm Rick Fowler. It is so good to have you with us. And the two top stories, obviously, of the morning and of the week, vaccines and votes. Where are we on the votes? Well, we'll start there. Not the best news for President Trump, but two recent announcements coming down on Friday. Georgia, the state of Georgia, has certified the vote for Joe Biden. And the state of Arizona has certified the vote for Joe Biden. But the president is not giving up. He is not conceding. And I think Lindsey Graham kind of summed it up a little bit earlier in the week, but I think this kind of summarizes where we are.
This is a big deal. Liberals don't want me talking about it. Nobody wants me to ask about it. They're trying to shut me down. They're trying to get Trump to concede. They don't want any court cases. When Stacey Abrams challenged the results in Georgia, she was an American hero. Right. When Donald Trump's going to court, he's a dictator. I'm tired of this crap. We're going to fight back in Georgia. We're going to fight back everywhere.
So that's Lindsey Graham, and of course the big deal about Georgia is what happens in the runoff election that is coming up in January. Well, the governor of Georgia is Brian Kemp, and here's how he summed up things in Georgia yesterday.
We demand complete explanations for all discrepancies identified so that our citizens will have complete confidence in our elections. In the runoff election, we cannot have lost memory cards or stacks of uncounted ballots.
So that is the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp. Now, you heard what he said. Well, you know, going to take care of this and fix that. Well, a lot of good that does us now. He just laid out how badly they screwed up in Georgia. And you know, here's the question. Who knows how many flash drives were misplaced that maybe they didn't find? They didn't find out about it. Who knows? I'm not saying they did, but who knows? If they'd had their act together, Senator Perdue probably wouldn't be in a runoff, and President Trump may actually have won the state of Georgia. So, Governor Kemp, I can see why President Trump has got you on one of his bad lists. So that's a kind of a look at the Georgia situation. And as we go down the list here, there was a press conference a little bit earlier in the week, and it caught a lot of attention, and we're going to spend some time on it this morning. We'll talk with Jim Trusty about it a bit later on in the program. But Cut H is Sidney Powell, and this is one of the attorneys for President Trump. She and Rudy Giuliani held a press conference this week, and they laid out their case in a number of different states, and they talked about affidavits, and they have sworn affidavits, so that is what they are presenting as some of the evidence. They say there will be more evidence coming, and here's how Sidney Powell described things.
What we are really dealing with here and uncovering more by the day is the massive influence of communist money through Venezuela, Cuba, and likely China in the interference with our elections here in the United States.
And that's the one that really raised some eyebrows. And apparently she doubled down the next day on Fox News and says she's going to have evidence coming out in the next couple of weeks. That's one that a lot of people have dismissed, and a lot of people are keeping their eyes on just to see where that goes. Rudy Giuliani was there as well, and here's just one note from Rudy Giuliani.
There are other aspects of this fraud that, at this point, I really can't reveal.
So that's kind of a look at the voting situation and the court fight that President Trump continues. And again, he's made a couple of comments this week that sort of imply that maybe he's starting to realize that he is not going to have a second term, but so far holding the line, as are his attorneys. It's 6:14. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up next, we'll get into the vaccine latest. And what a mess the Democrats have made of that. And you're going to say, why do you say that, Rick? Well, I'll tell you when we come back. But first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In Laurel, watch out for an accident on northbound 95 north of 216. It reported to be along the left side, so stay to your right and use caution there. Keep in mind, in the district, a portion of the Suitland Parkway is closed between South Capitol Street and First Sterling Avenue for construction, but detours are posted. Also, Howard Road is closed between Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue and South Capitol Street. Also, keep in mind in Bethesda that Beach Drive is closed between the Kensington Parkway and Garrett Park Road to allow for social distance recreation. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Another nice day is in store as highs should reach the mid-60s under partly sunny skies. We'll see some increasing clouds as we head through the afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy tonight, lows back into the 40s. cloudy skies expected on your Sunday. Cooler temperatures, highs back in the mid-50s. We'll have the chance for some showers as we head Sunday night to early Monday morning. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Lickett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
30 degrees in the nation's capital. We're at 6:15 on the Saturday morning update.
Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Indeed, it is the Saturday morning update. So why am I saying the Democrats have screwed up on vaccines? Well, it's pretty obvious, and I'll tell you why. They have carried the drumbeat for months about Trump expediting the vaccines and that we can't trust the vaccines because President Trump was the one that expedited the process and came up with Operation Warp Speed. But since it's Donald Trump, we can't trust him. As an example, this is the genius governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo.
Why is it moving so fast? Two reasons. Money and ego. The first drug company that has the vaccine, that is big money. You didn't need Trump to tell the vaccine companies you should develop a vaccine. He had nothing to do with it. President, it's ego. On the way out the door, he wants to be able to say, I solved COVID because I discovered a vaccine. Now, it's all BS. He didn't do anything. It's the drug companies. And nobody's going to trust him saying it's a safe vaccine.
Okay, so nobody's going to trust the vaccines that have been developed. So what's going to happen when Joe Biden takes over and all the people that maybe believe the Democratic approach on this, which would be about half the country, are going to say, I don't trust the vaccine. What's going to happen? We got a little messaging problem, and I will be very interested to see how they handle it. Now, Joe Biden, the campaign's over. I mean, you know, he looks like he's the president-elect, but he continues to trash Trump.
Look, the only reason people question the vaccine now is because of Donald Trump. That's the reason why people are questioning the vaccine, because all the things he says and doesn't say, whether it's truthful, is it not truthful?
Joe Biden, you know, continuing to cast doubt on the vaccines. So what are they going to do? Well, the debate continues now about vaccines and coronavirus and the transition. And as you know, the GSA has yet to certify the election and begin the official government transition. And Vice President Biden is somewhat upset about that.
We're not able to deal with everything from testing to guidance to the all-important issue of vaccine distribution, and even more importantly, vaccination plan to actually get vaccinations.
Maybe he hasn't seen, but we have publicly available that plan that I mentioned in my opening. It's the COVID-19 vaccination program, the interim playbook for jurisdiction operations.
So that's a little back and forth, of course, Vice President Biden, followed by Kayleigh McEnany in a press conference at the White House yesterday. So we'll see how this plays out. But again, they've spent 6 months completely destroying the credibility of the vaccines that President Trump has helped to expedite through Operation Warp Speed. And the drug manufacturers, of course, you know, moving quickly. The latest on those vaccines, by the way, Pfizer and BioNTech applied yesterday for an emergency use authorization from the Food and Drug Administration for the coronavirus vaccine. That's the emergency use authorization. Now, if Pfizer's application is approved, the vaccine likely limited but rolled out in phases with healthcare workers, the elderly, and people with underlying health conditions getting the first inoculations. Essential workers, teachers, and people in homeless shelters and prisons would likely be next, followed by children and young adults. The FDA process expected to take a few weeks. An advisory committee meeting to review the vaccine is tentatively scheduled for early December. Some Americans could get their first dose of the vaccine before the end of the year. So you may recall
President Trump during the campaign saying we were just around the corner from the vaccines. Turned out he was right about that, though a lot of people didn't believe him. So that's where we are on vaccines. Well, we were talking about the transition. Well, what is next? So we're not real sure what's next because Vice President Biden has taken hand-picked questions, possibly scripted from the sound of some of these questions, but that's simply my opinion. No evidence to that effect. But the bottom line is we're not hearing too much from Vice President Biden. He's having his little photo ops, and once in a while he'll, you know, give some remarks and complain, but he's not really taking a lot of questions. So we're starting to get dribs and drabs. Well, what's going to happen? Well, it sounds like he's whacked a deal with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Get your wallets and your checkbooks, and you're probably going to have to tap the 401k to pay the tab on this one.
It shows that these issues are not a fluke. It shows that they are not a flash in the pan. It shows that they are not a hot new thing. What it shows is a deep yearning for climate justice and environmental action in the United States of America. We have worked with the Biden administration to secure commitment on a $2 trillion climate plan. $2 trillion. But we're not going to stop there.
And we're not going to stop there. Okay, $2 trillion, but that's just the beginning. So that's just a little bit of a sample. Now, you may have heard that Bernie Sanders is lobbying to become the Secretary of Labor. That's fascinating. Going to be a very interesting rollout. And as you've seen, the moderate Democrats are not too fond of the progressive direction and especially the term socialism. And you saw how the moderate Democrats reacted in the aftermath of the election, which cost the House a number of seats on the Democratic side. Republicans picked up a couple of more seats, actually, at the end of the week. So things are moving in the right direction for Republicans' representation in the House, and we'll see what happens in the state of Georgia in the runoff elections as to the Senate. Now, as we speak of the Senate, there was a hearing this week, seems like years ago, but a couple of the social media giants were there. You had Mark Zuckerberg and, you, of course, Facebook, and Jack Dorsey, who is the head of Twitter. And Ted Cruz, among those questioning Jack Dorsey, and just kind of listen to this carefully. Cruz lays it out. There's a payoff in here. And as you listen to Ted Cruz, you start to wonder if President Trump does not run for a new election in 2024. Huh. Who might the Republicans put up? Listen to Ted Cruz here.
Mr. Dorsey, would the following statement violate Twitter's policies? Quote, absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud.
I imagine that we would label it so that people can have more context and read through.
How about this quote? Quote, third-party organizations, candidates, and political activists, voter fraud is particularly possible where, quote, third-party organizations, candidates, and political party activists are involved in, quote, handling absentee ballots. Would you flag that as potentially misleading?
I don't know the specifics of how we might enforce that, but I imagine a lot of these would have a label pointing people to a bigger conversation.
Well, you're right. You would label them because you've taken the political position right now that voter fraud doesn't exist. I would note both of those quotes come from the Carter-Baker Commission on Federal Election Reform. That is Democratic President Jimmy Carter and former Secretary of State James Baker. And Twitter's position is essentially voter fraud does not exist. Are you aware that just 2 weeks ago in the state of Texas, a woman was charged with 134 counts of election fraud? Are you aware of that?
I'm not aware of that.
If I tweeted that statement with a link to the indictment, would you put a warning on it that says, well, the Democratic Party position right now is voter fraud doesn't exist?
I don't think it's useful to get into hypotheticals, but I don't believe so.
Well, that was the Ted Cruz smackdown of the head of Twitter, Jack Dorsey. Wow. How do you like Dorsey? Habita, 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 habita. I mean, Cruz just laid it out. Anyway, that gives you some sense of what's going on. And this whole notion of censorship and suppression is something we'll talk about with Cheryl Atkinson coming up in the program this morning. She's looking at where some of the coronavirus funding has gone. An investigative journalist that follows the money. Fraud with the coronavirus funding and distribution. So we'll talk with Cheryl Atkinson about that this morning. Also on the way, we'll be joined by Jennifer Harper, and we're going to talk with Jennifer about the whole vaccine issue and the media and how people feel about vaccines. Some interesting poll numbers as to where we are right now in the American public. Also coming up this morning, Jim Trusty will join us, and we're going to spend a few minutes with Jim. Of course, he's an attorney, and we'll talk with him about the Electoral College, the process, what's going on, and some of the challenges that the Trump campaign has waged there, and sort of how the whole electoral process will play out with the electors. And you've heard a lot of controversy about the electors and the Electoral College in the past few days, so we'll talk with Jim in detail about that. John Gizzi will join us. And one of the things we talked with John about, a couple of Michigan lawmakers were at the White House yesterday, and people were saying, well, President Trump's trying to get them to, influence the electors to go rogue. Well, we'll talk with John Gizzi about that. John's got a list of some of those Republican victories in the House this week as the votes continue to be counted, and the tug of war in the Democratic Party. We're going to get into that in detail with John Gizzi. We'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He's coming up a little bit later on in the program, and we're going to talk with Tony about some of the security implications in the voter fraud and investigations into irregularities around the country. And we'll also talk with Tony about the troop drawdown now scheduled in Iraq and Afghanistan. And KT McFarland will join us, and we're going to look at the whole Operation Warp Speed and the vaccine rollout of President Trump and kind of how things have operated in the Trump administration. So just some of the things we've got coming up on the Saturday Morning Update. So stay with us.
Sometimes in business, the unexpected comes calling. From rent increases to increased orders to, I'm going to say it, unprecedented times. But don't bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Bounce forward fast with internet speeds up to a gig, with the flexibility to update your bandwidth in just a few clicks, and with security solutions that help keep your connected devices protected. Be fast. Be flexible. Be ready for what's next. And bounce forward with Comcast Business. Get started with 100 megabits per second internet and security edge for just $79.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Switch today and get a $200 prepaid card plus a $100 bonus if you have Xfinity services at home. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go online today to learn more. Offer ends 12/6/20. Restrictions apply. New Comcast Business customers only. Enrollment and equal bill and auto payment required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra subject to change. Xfinity customers must subscribe to new business 100 megabits per second internet or above for additional prepaid card.
This is Mike Donovan, host of Not Free America on Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on WMAL FM 105.9 in the nation's capital. This weekend on Not Free America Radio, economic disaster looms as our GDP crashes. What does losing a third of our economy really mean? Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo takes quarantining travelers to a new extreme. And we talk facts about qualified immunity in the American police state. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on Not Free America Radio.
At GEHA, we believe that possible is for everyone. Because possible isn't perfect. It's progress and persistence. Fun and fulfilling. Whether it comes in giant leaps or small steps. And with a wide variety of medical and dental plans designed for federal employees and their families, GEHA is here to help. With open season happening until December 14th, now is the time to choose your possible. Learn more at GEHA.com.
Ever open a kitchen cabinet and your pans fall out on the floor? Or reach for spices in the back and everything falls out? And if you're nervous about entertaining for the holidays because your countertops are in such sad shape, we can help. Whether your kitchen needs a little spruce up or a major remodel, experienced designers at Cabinet Discounters can help. Check out our website, CabinetDiscounters.com, and see photos of gorgeous projects, both big and small, including kitchens, baths, wet bars, entertainment centers, and more. Then visit one of Cabinet Discounters' 7 showrooms in Maryland and Virginia for a free consultation with an experienced designer who will get you started. Find showroom locations, hours, and phone numbers at CabinetDiscounters.com.
Find showroom locations, hours, and phone numbers at CabinetDiscounters.com. That's CabinetDiscounters.com.
Cabinet Discounters, great quality, great price.
We never thought 2020 was going to be this challenging, did we? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and during this difficult time, we need hope. We need a kind of hope that is not just wishful thinking, but rather hope defined as a confident expectation. Let's see hope when we see so many neighbors leaving their homes to exercise and pursue a healthy lifestyle. Let's see hope when we see diverse groups marching together in pursuit of justice and equality. Let's see hope when we see faithful police officers pursue their calling of caring for their neighbors and communities. We have a lot of outstanding problems in our world today, but let's see hope and have hope. Let's work together, play together, and let's dream together. At the Good Feet Store, we would love to help you find hope again. Let's see if we can help you work better, play better, and start dreaming without your feet getting in the way. The Good Feet Store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, or visit us at goodfeet.com.
This is Mike Donovan, host of Not Free America on Sundays at 10 a.m., right here on WMAL FM 105.9 in the nation's capital. This weekend on Not Free America Radio, economic disaster looms as our GDP crashes. What does losing a third of our economy really mean? Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo takes quarantining travelers to a new extreme. And we talk facts about qualified immunity in the American police state. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. right here on Not Free America Radio.
In the headlines at 6:30, the United States has recorded 195,000 new COVID-19 cases in one day. One expert says spread is now faster and broader than ever. Donald Trump Jr. was diagnosed earlier in the week with COVID-19. He has been in quarantine during the week. Also, just reported, one of Gavin Newsom's children, the governor, of course, of California, one of his children has quarantined after potential exposure from a classmate at school. Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia has certified election results. In Michigan, the lawmakers pledging to follow the law on picking electors after meeting with President Trump yesterday. And as far as the coronavirus impacting the Washington area, some new restrictions going into effect today in Virginia. The bars will be closing earlier. The last call in Virginia now is 10 p.m. The National Zoo and the Smithsonian Museums are closing down, and it is indefinitely, so there is no projected date that they will reopen. We're at 6:33 and time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Laurel, watch out for an accident on Northbound 95 north of 216. That blocks a left lane. Stay to your right and use caution there. Keep in mind there is a new traffic pattern on the inner loop of the Beltway in the vicinity of Pennsylvania Avenue, Maryland 4, heading towards Allentown Road. Your lanes no longer divide. All four lanes are now shifting over to the left, so do be aware of that. Also, keep in mind in the district that the Suitland Parkway is closed for road work again this weekend between South Capitol Street and First Sterling Avenue in Southeast, but detours are posted. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Another nice day is in store as highs should reach the mid-60s under partly sunny skies. We'll see some increasing clouds as we head through the afternoon. Becoming mostly cloudy tonight, lows back into the 40s. Cloudy skies expected on your Sunday. Cooler temperatures, highs back in the mid-50s. We'll have the chance for some showers as we head Sunday night to early Monday morning. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Retired federal employees, the United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan offers you a number of great benefits, like nationwide coverage, no out-of-pocket costs on covered medical services, a Part B premium subsidy, a free fitness program, hearing aid coverage, and more peace of mind to make the most of your well-earned retirement. It's time to take advantage. Open season for federal retirees starts on November 9th. Learn why the United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan may be a smart choice. Call United Healthcare at 1-844-481-8821 or visit www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. That's 1-844-481-8821 or www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. This plan is only available to retired federal employees. Benefits and features may vary by plan or area. Limitations and exclusions apply.
It's the Saturday Morning Update. As we lead toward the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, we're joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
One thing we love about having Jennifer Harper on is how she monitors the news as it relates to what's going on in our lives, and especially with the holidays coming up. Been a lot of attention this week, Jennifer, on Thanksgiving dinners being canceled. You're not allowed to have family members over in some states. Some states, the sheriffs are refusing to go in and bust people inside their homes trying to have dinner. What's going on?
Well, you know, Rick, you're really right about that, because the Democrats have sort of created this cancel culture, but it's all built around these sort of feel-good things where they're telling you to stay safe and be careful. And a lot of people are getting really annoyed with this because, as you pointed out, it's beginning to affect their personal lives, such as Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas and so forth and so on. And it particularly affects people, you know, who are dealing with shuttered schools. I mean, think of all the folks in New York City and other urban areas where these are very disheartening times for these folks, and no one really knows which end is up and whether they should be staying this safe or not. And also consider that the Smithsonian Institute has reclosed all of its museums beginning on Monday, plus the National Zoo. And here's just a simple statement from one of them, from the Museum of American History. They say, due to the changing nature of the situation, we are not announcing reopening dates at this time. Now, that's kind of depressing because, you know, they're a stalwart here in D.C., and they make everybody happy. But, you know, let's go on to the holiday season that you mentioned, because I came across a wonderful analysis of the situation coming from John Nolte. He's editor-at-large for Breitbart News. And he says, now in the name of risk and safety, Americans, of all people, Americans are allowing politicians to cancel Thanksgiving when those politicians do not even have the legal authority to cancel Thanksgiving, when those politicians are repeatedly caught violating their own social distancing rules. Again, this is coming from John Nolte. I thought that was pretty smart. Anyway, he says, next up is Christmas. Are you going to allow fascist governors without the legal authority to do so to cancel your Christmas, even as these same governors encourage riots and protests and political celebrations, even as they themselves prove they do not believe the virus is all that serious through their own behavior? And he says, what comes after canceling Christmas? Oh, it's going to be a climate lockdown. You bet, he says. And he says, we'll be locked down to clear the air for our own good, for risk and safety reasons. And why not? We've already been proved ourselves to be sheep. Shame on all of us. Well, maybe not shame on all of us, but I think he's pointing out some good things here that we have to kind of reexamine a lot of this as Thanksgiving approaches and as Christmas and Hanukkah and lots more things are just around the corner.
You remember after the 2000 election, we coined the term hanging Chad, which was something that became sort of an iconic phrase. Are we going to have any iconic phrases coming out of this election?
Well, I think we're probably going to have quite a few iconic phrases. And one of those phrases right now, which has been politicized heavily, as we just mentioned before, the word lockdown. The word lockdown is now in the process of being banished by the Democrats. I didn't dream this up. Someone else did. This is coming from Mark Morano. He's the founder of ClimateDepot.com. This is a very smart site which tracks all the climate hijinks that people do and political and cultural aberrations and so forth and so on. And he said that COVID-19 lockdowns are no longer called lockdowns, because it doesn't create very good optics. It sounds like really scary. He says, lockdown advocates are all in on not saying the word lockdown. And he's right. collecting a whole lexicon of replacements that are favored by Democratic politicians and their advisors, who are kind of trying to retool the image of this very unpopular phenomenon. So here are the four new phrases for lockdown, because it's being banished by those who are afraid the optics are bad. Let's have a drum roll, please. Dimmer switch, emergency brake, freeze, and retightening. So if you hear those words mentioned by Democrats or their friends in the media, you know what's going on. They're looking out for their optics.
What about the media and the polls?
Oh, yes. We have some new words for our lexicon. In fact, in the Beltway, I do have a lexicon feature. Every time there's some new word that appears, I put it in there. So here's your new word for the day, and that is propaganda polls. Now, this is a very handy term, and obviously it's talking about these propaganda polls, which are very slanted towards President Trump. This is coming from Molly Hemingway, very smart gal over at The Federalist. She points out to all these carefully constructed, very manipulative opinion surveys, which the media literally deploys them against President Trump to make them look bad. And someone who was aware of all that way back in the day was Newt Gingrich. He's always been leery of this. And he actually had an essay on it in Newsweek, which was all the way back in June. He said that he cited polls which clearly indicated that Joe Biden was going to win, that he was winning the popularity derby, he's going to win the election, everything like that. And Mr. Gingrich called that the standard propaganda media polling offensive. Love that whole sounds like something out of football. But anyway, and your other word that we want to think about is marshmallow media. And this is what's happened to the media now that Joe Biden is whatever he is right now. They've gotten all cuddly and nice. Have you noticed all this? Anyway, Joe Concha, he's a media columnist over at The Hill, very smart guy also. He came up with this term. He said, if you think anything will change after January 20th, think again. We saw it throughout the campaign. We see it now in the transition, and we'll see it in the Biden administration, a carefully choreographed, risk-averse, and packaged president who will provide a fraction of the access that President Trump has given. And again, he's saying it's the marshmallow media at work. They're just all soft and cuddly now.
Well, another term we've heard a lot recently is election fraud. What are the polls telling you?
Yeah, well, there's some polls out there, and some of them are significant. And this one is very new. It was actually conducted this week by our friends at the Economist YouGov poll. And this is among registered voters, 1,500 registered voters. If you're wondering who thinks fraud has occurred, well, 37% of all registered U.S. voters say that a lot of voter fraud occurred in the election. A lot. That's like 37%. Anyway, that includes 74% of Republicans, 39% of independents, and even 6% of Democrats think there was a lot of voter fraud occurring so far. 27% overall say a little fraud occurred. That includes 18% of Republicans, 31% of independents, and 30% of Democrats. And 29% say that no voter fraud occurred. Well, 5% of Republicans agree with that, along with 22% of independents, and not surprisingly, 55% of Democrats. And then another 7% are not sure. That includes 3% of Republicans, 8% of independents, and 9% of Democrats agree. But it shows you that a cross-section of all voters, they're hip to the voter fraud that's going on out there.
Well, you know, ratings are a huge deal when it comes to radio, television, and, of course, the networks. And you had a kind of a surprising headline in the Beltway. The biggest American broadcaster of all is not a network. Explain that one.
This is truly the biggest broadcaster of all. And you may or may not know them, but this is the U.S. Agency for Global Media. Now, they are the folks that handle Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, Radio Free Asia, and Middle East Broadcasting Networks. So a lot of people are familiar with Voice of America. It's a pretty good network. They just go to the ends of the earth to get their news, and they're very meticulous about it. But those five networks, in a typical week, bring in 354 million people. Ooh. That's how many people they reach. It just, I fell on the floor because these days if you get 7 million people, boy, you're cooking with gas. But again, this is the U.S. Agency for Global Media. They released their numbers this week. Again, these five networks, Radio Free Europe, Voice of America, et cetera, 354 million people in a typical week during fiscal year 2020. They say this is the biggest audience ever for the agency. They broadcast in 100 countries in 62 languages. Just think about that. And it's actually increased by 4 million people since last year. And according to Michael Pack, he is the CEO of the agency, people around the world crave independent, unbiased news, and I'm so proud that our federal networks and grantees were able to deliver it, especially during COVID-19 when there was so much disinformation. Apparently, we don't hear a lot about that, but there's a lot of disinformation with some governments overseas, and the U.S. Agency for Global Media is part of their mission is to counter all this disinformation and propaganda with accurate reporting, they say, on local in-country issues from politics to economics to entertainment. I just love reading this because they've been around since right after World War II, I believe, but Voice of America was, and they're just keeping on mission here. And anyway, overall, their audience has grown by 32%. Overall, and their social media engagement is up by 83%, meaning Twitter and all that other stuff.
Wow.
And they say that some programming has literally skyrocketed, such as the content which is in Mandarin, where the overall audience numbers increased by 400%, and their views of video content shot up by 800%. They say the lots of audience growth in key markets, Iraq, Venezuela, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and China is first on the list. They have a typical audience of 65.4 million, and Iran and Russia are also in the top 10. So that tells you a lot about who's really paying attention to America right now.
Wow. Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, The Washington Times. Follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. You have a lovely Thanksgiving Day weekend, and we have got Jim Trusty coming up next. But first, a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Maryland on northbound 95, north of 216, looks like that accident has just been cleared, but just watch out for some residual delays in the area. In Virginia, Manassas, keep in mind there is a ramp closure from westbound 66 to go into business 234. That is closed for construction. And also there is still some road work eastbound between Route 29 in Gainesville and the Prince William Parkway. Look out for alternating lane closures in the area. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Another nice day is in store as highs should reach the mid-60s under partly sunny skies. We'll see some increasing clouds as we head through the afternoon. Becoming mostly cloudy tonight, lows back into the 40s. Cloudy skies expected on your Sunday. Cooler temperatures, highs back in the mid-50s. We'll have the chance for some showers as we head Sunday night to early Monday morning. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Luggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
46 now in D.C. It's 6:48 on a Saturday morning update. It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Glad that you have joined us and glad that Jim Trusty has joined us. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. He is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, it's always great to get your legal perspectives.
Thanks, Rick. Happy to be here with you.
We're going to be hearing a lot about the Electoral College in the next several weeks, and with the, you know, ongoing litigation of the Trump campaign and the very close race in the key states, wanted to get just an overview of the Electoral College and, in particular, the electors.
Sure. Well, the way it works, it starts off with the Constitution. Article 2 of the Constitution says Congress has a responsibility to establish the number of electors. And the way that's been established is it's basically equal to each state's full congressional delegation. So the number of representatives plus two senators is the number of electors that are picked in each state. So the federal constitution sets that up, but then again leaves a lot to the states. So the states are the ones that really set up the appointment process and the timing. And the way our legislatures across the country have set this up in the last, 150 years, is to mirror the popular votes. And so they've kind of established who the elector is going to be by candidate. When the popular vote tally is certified, then they pick that slate of electors. And there's some real interesting issues right now in terms of whether legislatures can ignore that, whether they can change the rules. But there's a pretty serious argument that can be made that these rules, these selections, really can't change after November 3rd. So some of the litigation is really geared towards this issue of whether state legislatures can basically overrule the process that they had set in motion before November 3rd.
Allegations made this week in a news conference with Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and others on the legal team, some very serious that they say could overturn the election, which might be fairly difficult to find evidence on. And then you have sworn affidavits and other instances which would be less impactful on the overall difference in the numbers between Joe Biden and Donald Trump's vote counts. If something major were to develop between now and the meeting of the electors and the Electoral College, even though a state has certified a vote, if something major developed and significant evidence, could that influence the electors?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it has to be kind of landslide-level cataclysm, right? It's got to be something not just pointing out that access was denied or that there were, you know, some small amount of dead people that voted. I mean, things that are definitely bad from a societal standpoint, but it's going to have to be something post-certification that is really capable of causing kind of a political and legal earthquake. And so, you know, that gravitates towards the whole Dominion stuff. If you can prove that there was systematic intentional fraud, like software being employed, algorithms being employed to flip votes, that's the type of thing that could really upset the apple cart even post-certification.
Well, I referenced the news conference, Jim, and obviously the mainstream media outlets and pundits have ridiculed Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell for making some pretty significant allegations without evidence so far that they have presented. What did you make of it from your perch as somebody who has been at such a high level at the Department of Justice?
Well, I thought it was very interesting, and I actually thought it was very fact-driven in terms of what they talked about with affidavits. And Rudy started off going, you know, state by state in terms of what the legal theories are and what the evidence is that's making its way through the courts and their civil complaints and in their declarations. I do think that at times, you know, Rudy can be kind of a distraction. Like he kind of gets up with that microphone and starts talking about my cousin Vinny or starts talking about other things, and it can be entertaining on one level, but it's not necessarily as focused as I think they needed to be. Now, I do think they did a nice job establishing that the there is no evidence story that was making the rounds in the media is a false narrative, because there is certainly evidence. And I think they were pretty fair about saying, you know, you can challenge it, but there is actually evidence. But I think what we're seeing afterwards, you know, across all the networks is kind of a media conceit that somehow these investigations owe it to the media to do a mock trial before it gets into the courtroom. And that's just absurd. But I really think that's kind of the flavoring that we're getting from the media these days is, you know, show us your evidence. And that just doesn't happen in any sort of litigation. I think they gave a pretty good roadmap. And again, maybe they went a little far and maybe they didn't need to talk about, you know, conspiracies in Venezuela and Cuba, because that's really not what they need to show to win in the litigation here. So they may have created some high expectations they shouldn't have created. But when you really look at what they talked about on a granular level, it's the type of stuff we should all be interested in.
I wanted to get your take specifically on what happened in Pennsylvania.
So right now, a lot of the litigation, particularly in Pennsylvania, involves state election officials changing the rules without the legislature's permission. And so in Pennsylvania, there's allegations of selective curing of defective ballots and ignoring signature requirements and changing late mailing deadlines at the last minute. And, you know, the issue has been from the Trump side that this is a usurpation of authority, that it's not the state officials' roles to do all these things. It's the legislature that makes the rules. Well, the great irony in terms of where some of this litigation might be going is that if we get to a point where President Trump's forces are trying to get state legislatures to create their own electors, to basically say our state is so hopelessly messed up that we're not going to awarded to Biden. We're going to create our own Trump electors. Well, ironically, the litigation that's going to follow from that is going to be the Democrats saying the Republicans are changing the rules after the fact, and that they'll suggest with some authority that the Constitution and the federal case law and federal statutes don't allow you to just ignore the rules that were in place before November 3rd when it comes to picking electors.
And we will probably hear the term faithless electors come up in the news in the next several weeks. How about a legal definition?
Well, a faithless elector is a person who's going to get murdered. No, it's a person who basically has been selected by candidate and who is supposed to represent the popular vote by announcing that they, as an elector, also select that winning candidate. Well, we've always had this concept where sometimes the actual electors can change their mind. And in fact, in 2016, Hillary lost 5 electors and Trump lost 2. And they didn't always vote for the other side of the aisle, but they at least said they're not going to cast their vote in favor of the person they were supposed to be pushing for. And what's happened, particularly since then, is the states have increasingly come up with penalties to punish faithless electors. And this year, the Supreme Court, in a case called Schiaffalo versus Washington, upheld those laws. So there's actually laws that punish these electors. They range from very small fines to telling them that they're going to be replaced and that their vote doesn't count. So it's not something where you're going to see faithless electors filling in the prison cells across America. But again, you know, I think what's happened, because there's been this phenomena, even in 2016, is the parties are picking real diehards. They're not going to pick people that are wishy-washy that might change their mind at the last minute. And you might note Hillary is an elector for Joe Biden in this election. So, you know, these are not people that are going to cast their vote lightly for the other guy, I don't think.
Jim, I guess what we're seeing is sort of an action on two fronts. Number one, the very serious allegations to say that the election results could be overturned, but also on a separate track is correcting certain irregularities and the potential for irregularities for 2022 or 2024 with a presidential election.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of stuff that's not going to be fully diagnosed and cured by the time we get to the electors or even to January. So there are things that I think we should be looking at over the long haul, including mail-in ballots, including the software, including the processes at some of these places that have become hotspots like Wayne County and Philadelphia and Fulton County. So there's a lot for all of us to look at if we're going to do it with a mind towards having fair and accurate and, again, elections that inspire faith that the system is working. That's what we should all hope for. And I guess it's my own wish that a bipartisan group comes together and really does a full autopsy on this thing when it's all said and done to figure out how we can avoid it in the future.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. You can follow him on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. Jim, thanks very much. We'll see you next weekend.
Thank you, Rick. Have a good weekend.
We're at 6:58, coming up 7 o'clock news with Maria Leaf. Then we're back with John Gizzi, Cheryl Atkison, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and K.T. McFarland.
Retired federal employees. The United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan offers you a number of great benefits, like nationwide coverage, no out-of-pocket costs on covered medical services, a Part B premium subsidy, a free fitness program, hearing aid coverage, and more peace of mind to make the most of your well-earned retirement. It's time to take advantage. Open season for federal retirees starts on November 9th. Learn why the United Healthcare Group Medicare Advantage Value PPO plan may be a smart choice. Call United Healthcare at 1-844-481-8821 or visit www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. That's 1-844-481-8821 or www.uhcfeds.com/retiree. This plan is only available to retired federal employees. Benefits and features may vary by plan or area. Limitations and exclusions apply.
One by one.
Thank you for taking my call.
Every caller gets their say.
You know, there's so many issues.
And whether you agree...
think you're politically wrong.
...or disagree...
I will have to agree with you.
You're invited to join the conversation. 105.9 FM WMAL.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.